Hello, and welcome. I believe we are going to start now.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Life changes. And now, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, we are laughing already. and we've been laughing. We're at an incredible little place underground in Riverside. And nobody knows that we're here. As a matter of fact, the internet doesn't even know that we're here. And sometimes if we cut off, we will be back, because what we have tonight is something very special, something very important. And I can't wait to bring up our guest, who is Coyote the Blind. Oh, Thelemic, that's it, Thelemic. I've been trying to learn this word. He's a Thelemic magician and a Toltec master. Coyote the Blind is going to be a great special guest, and I can't wait to bring him on in just a few moments. So, Mark, you are so right about the laughter and the understanding and the frequencies of love, because that's what we've experienced at our very first live taping in front of a live audience. So you're our very first live audience.
You got to start somewhere, man.
Might as well be Riverside.
And we started in Riverside. It's very exciting because I actually used to live and work in Riverside, just down the street from this building, when I worked for IBM, and that used to be the IBM building. It might still be, I'm not sure. But I'm going to keep my talk at the beginning here very short, but I do want to say something, because a very special holiday is coming up, and that's Thanksgiving. And it's so interesting because we hear the word Thanksgiving, but I just wonder how many of us are actually giving thanks on that day. Because all I've heard about already for the past couple weeks is, what are you going to eat for Thanksgiving? Not what are you thankful for, or who are you giving thanks to, but what are you going to eat? And what I see in the stores is not people being thankful for things, but people fighting over the last turkey on the in the aisles, or the getting upset at the grocery store managers because there weren't enough cans of this or that. And my mother asked me as well. Now, my mother's Italian, so you know there's a lot of food at Thanksgiving, and it's not all... I'm sure half of this food was not there at the very first Thanksgiving table. And it's all wonderful and very delicious. And since I've been eating like a vegan, she asked me again this year, what would you like me to make for you? And I said, well, what are you making already? Well, I'm making this, and I'm making this, and I'm making this, and I'm making this. And I said, there's plenty for me to eat. And she says, but you can't eat turkey. I said, I can't eat turkey. I choose not to. But there's plenty. Why waste food? And she said, you're right. There's plenty. As a matter of fact, maybe I won't make this, and maybe I won't make that. And I thought, wait a minute. And so the point that I'm trying to make is that all the energy that is put on food, and it's wonderful. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't eat food. Of course not. Or that we shouldn't eat turkeys. I got an email from a friend recently who sent me a YouTube. Or any food. And just eating a little bit of it just to say that they had turkey, or just to show their friends and family that they could put on a big spread, and then they throw it all away, then that doesn't feel right. And how interesting is it that on the day of Thanksgiving, we are throwing away our abundance, as opposed to being thankful for it, respecting it, and treating it as it was meant to be treated. I think we have a lot to learn, actually, and it's very not coincidental that we are with somebody today, Coyote the Blind, who comes from Indian blood and Indian tradition, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that together. So with that, I want to remind everybody that you're listening and watching to Life Changes with Philippa Voltaggio. Actually, this is the first time that Marc Legeur has been on camera, and he's the voice that you hear at the very beginning and the very end and sometimes in the middle. But Life Changes with Filippo can be heard every Monday night at 7 p.m. on the BBS Radio Network. And to learn more about us, you can go to lifechanges.ws. And, of course, you can learn about us on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and so many things soon to come. So with that, I'd like to bring on our guest. And I'll tell you a little bit more about him. Coyote the Blind is a Thelemic magician.
Thelemic.
He's teaching me already. And a Toltec master.
Well, you're Italian.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I thought you were German with a name like that.
With a name like Filippo?
Montaggio? Italian?
Yes. So thank you for joining us today, and we'll be back next week at our regular time. This is not in his bio, but he's a very funny man, as you can see. He's an artist. He's a philosopher. Coyote practices the Toltec art of the telling, and I can't wait to get more into what the telling is all about, combining spoken word, gesture, and mood. The three create a deep experience for the audience members through the unification of the mind, heart, and movement of the artist. Coyote was the founder of the, Tequila Foundation, a 501c3 public charity whose mission is to preserve and present the rare and ancient Toltec arts. Coyote has spoken to hundreds of audiences internationally and actually interviewed many international figures, helping people connect with their inner. With their inner. Just their inner?
Star.
With their inner star. Okay. Well,
when I was in school, we had a chemistry teacher who came to class, used to come to class drunk many times. And one day there was an equation about a chemical transformation, a chemical process that was not making sense because there were a couple of molecules unaccounted for.
In his brain.
Well, you know, he was going through the process and he puts the formula here, and what it appeared at the end didn't make any sense how he arrived there. So a friend of mine raised his hand and he said, what happened to the two hydrogen molecules that were before? And he looks at it and, you know, his eyes are all red, he's kind of drunk. And he said, oh, they evaporated.
Okay.
Don't worry about the Nahuatl names.
Yes.
We do that a lot to confuse the white man. But generally you just say it the way it's written.
I tried and you corrected me. We're a great nation of peoples.
Yes.
When was that time, and what were they about?
Well, their main period pretty much coincides with the Roman Empire.
Really?
The rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. By the middle of the 10th century, everything breaks apart. The factions were divided because some people started to practice human sacrifice,
mm.
and the the king at the time, who was very much into meditation, into fasting. He was a vegetarian. He was an ascetic king. He lost this battle. He went into exile, and he was pretty much against this practice of external magic. He was into the inner transformation.
Mm.
And there is an old practice that the Toltecs used to call human sacrifice. But that was a metaphor. Just like dying and being reborn in a esoteric Christianity was really a metaphor for something that happens to the ego. This personality that went black, is that okay?
Yes, it's okay. We do that to confuse the Toltecs.
It freaks us out. I have no idea. It's driving erratically. So human sacrifice was about this. You have the source, the most powerful source of energy in the body, in the sexual center, and in normal human civilization, we are taught to send that outward into the world, to procreate, to attain wealth, to attain external works, to control others, to dominate others.
So the energy that comes from our root chakra, you're saying?
Yes.
We normally push that out.
We push it out.
Okay.
That's how we learn. That's how we learn to talk. That's how we learn to work. That's how we learn to pray. That's how we learn to have sex. To push all the energy out.
Okay.
Maybe in Italy it's different. But here in America, it sucks. You're in a good way. You shouldn't be talking about sex with people.
I'm understanding. I'm understanding you. I'm just ignoring you.
I want to talk about the 69.
Was that a year?
It's vintage.
It's vintage. Okay.
I'll tell you about 68 later in the program. It's a very sacred Toltec position. So this sexual energy, right? Instead of wasting it outside, instead of wasting it in conquering their neighbors, into building empires, into subjugating others, they change the direction, send it upwards through the Kundalini energy up to the heart chakra. The heart chakra, it flows up, and once it's in the heart, once the heart has become alive, like, because this is the sun, this is the center of the being, of all the chakras.
Okay.
The heart is the center. When this one is illuminated and it is sending its light and its love out, the heart of the person, the sun of this person, has become alive. That's how they view this psychic centers. That's when the human sacrifice comes. The Toltecs used to say that the objective of bringing the energy to the sun god. Therefore, in essence, sacrificing the human in you. Whereas the human side is the sign to procreate, to work the land, to grow and die. They sought to make him die before he died, so that
physically
new life, yes, so that new life can come. So that was the esoteric notion of human sacrifice. What this other faction of black magicians started to do is to apply those principles to actually killing priests and virgins and brave warriors, and offering that the heart to the sun god and the Varian.
Wow.
And that's what the Aztecs took, and some of the other cultures also took, because it brought great power to them.
Wow.
Great power to them. But the original Toltecs were against that. Okay, were against that. And fortunately, the practice of human sacrifice, where you take actual virgins, female virgins, and they kill them on top of the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty much developed in South America. It developed in Mexico. It never took place here in America, mainly because you can't find any virgins.
Can we take that out of the record, please?
Oh, we're not recording yet.
No. Oh, yes, we are. In case you missed the introduction. So then what is the magician part of your title? Does that include what you're talking about, bringing the human energy through the body?
It does. You know, for the Toltecs, the main word of all the practices is intent. And that means that anything that the Toltec magician, the Toltec woman or man of knowledge, endeavors to do is to live a life where everything revolves around intent.
Mm-hmm.
Not unconscious living, not giving in to wants and unconsciously created programs and pulls, but define their own direction, define their intent, and live in accordance to that. The magician, Thelemic magician, it comes from the word Thelema, which means will. In Greek.
Okay.
And that refers to exactly the same thing. Will, the capacity to act, to create, to love, to die, all in accordance to your true will. We believe that when you take on an incarnation in this life, it is with a purpose that is beyond the realm of the animal, and beyond the purview of the socialized human, because this is we inhabit this magnificent body. Okay, I don't know about yours, but this. Deep down, this is a beautiful life. Face, I don't know. I'm not as handsome as I look. You'll be surprised. You'll see it on the radio once it comes out. This body that we live in, it's a vehicle. And by a vehicle, I mean the flesh, the mind. Inside the vehicle, it's a star, one of the beings that was created from the beginning of creation and exists somewhere in this infinite space.
Inside each one of us.
Yes, inside each one of us, almost.
Except for that person.
I don't know where. That guy keeps on going. Before having taken this, there we are, you know, partaking of the eternal life, one with the will of the absolute, and we take on this incarnation, and we have a purpose. There is a reason why we took this incarnation. We forget what that was. We forget that at this age, okay, it's old age. But there is a purpose. Then that purpose gets all tangled up in ordinary existence, and we become more interested in the job, making money, in getting laid, in I don't know what else is there. But we get all confused with that aspect, the social aspect, that we forget the eternal mission that we have.
And that's why you made a distinction with the true will.
Yes.
So it's the true will, the true intent of what we came with. And so what you're saying is that as we go through our lives, we confuse what we really want. So whether it's getting laid or getting this job or getting the money, et cetera, that becomes our will and intent of the day, but that's not the will and intent of our life.
We confuse the will, true will, with the 10,000 wants, the 10,000 distractions of the Buddhist philosophy. We forget who we are, and we define ourselves in accordance to our wants. And when our personality doesn't get what it wants, the ego doesn't get what it wants, it begins to kick and scream. But buried in all this artificial world of concerns is a shining light which will remain after die, after I die, after the universe is gone. And here we have a chance to awaken to that, to the memory of that, and align all that we have with that single intent. And that means all my hungers, my desires, my body, all of that becomes a slave to that one true will that resides in us.
As you're sharing this, I'm getting a thought, and I don't know where it's coming from, probably from that guy. Or
that guy.
And that is that light inside, or that life of purpose. Somebody might say, I don't want to be Mother Teresa. I'm not here to be Mother Teresa. Or something like that. I'm not here to live a poor life or to help the poor or something. So maybe we have these ideas that to live our purpose means to be poor or to be like some of us, to be like Gandhi, skinny and not eating or something. And how do we talk to that?
Both skinny, violent bastard. He was very, you know, he beat up his wife.
He beat up his wife?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
I don't do that.
You don't do that?
I don't do that. I would get my ass kicked.
You
wait, can I say that on the record?
Ass or kick?
Kick.
You can say kick.
There is a story there is a story about that.
No. And you can't remember it.
One day, no, I know the punchline. Godhead, you know, that's Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, the creator, the destroyer, and the timekeeper, you know, the maintainer. One day, Indra, the king of the gods. Now, Indra, the king of the gods, is the equivalent of Jupiter, of Zeus, of of Yahweh, you know, and anyone that is at the head of his kingdom. And then above them, there are three that are the real gods. But Indra, one day, comes down to earth and incarnates into the body of a pig to have that kind of experience.
Mm.
And he lives the life of a pig. After a while, he was having so much fun, and he forgot who he was. And as a pig, he had the most amazingly delicious time rolling on the mud, eating whatever he wanted to eat, having 14-hour-long orgasms. Pigs can...
Really?
Yeah. Yes, don't ask me how I know. That's a pig. Yeah. It was